let's record an episode of The Implications of Phineas and Ferb.
Let's discuss the
implications of Phineas and Ferb. I am Joseph.
I'm also here.
Okay, so that's cool. Good to hear. It's good that you're here. Mm. And when we say here, we also, you know what else is here?
What?
The theme song.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast.
There's 365 days in a gap year, and uni's gonna come and end it. So the once in a lifetime problem for us is to find a good way to spend it.
Making a podcast.
Bam, theme song.
Bam, there it is, because it isn't actually here, not for us at least, not for us yet.
We need to get one of those long-distance soundboards going. We'll get there eventually, but right now we're very lazy.
Talking about being very lazy, God, university is a lot of fun. By fun, I mean not fun, and I've got work to do that I never thought I've...
Yeah, right? We've been on a gap year for a whole, like, literally... a year. But instead of doing like a normal gap year where you go on holidays and stuff, we've done fucking nothing except record this stupid little podcast.
And so now I've officially I got away with the first 2 weeks of the math stuff not being having to watch the lectures. I have to watch this / next week's one, which is slightly annoying, because now I actually have to do that work, and then the other classes are picking up.
It's a lot. It's tough being you.
It's a hard life. It so is. I've got so many things to do. And you know what I'm doing instead? Enjoying my Thursday with you, recording a podcast.
Oh, that's cute. I am enjoying my Thursday with you as well. And do you know who else is enjoying their day?
Who?
Phineas and Ferb.
That was a nice little segue.
Thank you. We're on season 2, episode 23. We're on Undercover Carl.
Carl!
They use that song a lot more than we thought.
Yeah,
it comes back a fair few times.
The little joke when they did the little Carl song. But now they do it like, it's been in the past, 8 episodes, it's been at least 4 of them.
Mm-hmm. And I am not mad in the slightest. It is a fantastic song.
And what happens in this one?
Yeah, so I've got the synopsis for the first one. Phineas and Ferb just chilling under a tree, having a great time.
Yep.
And, classic episode intro, they're sitting under a tree. We get that little guitar jingle that like brings the episode in. We get the title card. It's all very standard Phineas and Ferb. An apple falls on Phineas's head and he goes, gravity. I wonder if there's any way around that. I'm like, what an opening line.
Discovered gravity by an apple falling off a tree. Phineas will break gravity.
Through the same way.
Through the same way. He'll be like, how do we not have this happen?
Let's get rid of that shit. And then Candace shows up and is like, it's a rule of the universe.
It's
like
a universal law. Not even you can break them.
Yeah, it's like white after Labor Day. You just can't do it. And I'm like, firstly, I don't know what kind of American bullshit Labor Day is. But I will be having none of it. I will be wearing white year-round. It's one of the two colours that I can pull off, the other one being black.
Black and navy are my two colours, and I have, like, 3 white things, which is actually really annoying when you're doing washing now, because... Anyway.
My classic look, black jeans, white T-shirt, jacket.
That's what I wear 99% of days. You gotta make sure the jeans have large cuts in them, though, otherwise they're not worth wearing.
Joe thinks that ripped jeans shouldn't be a thing.
Ripped jeans can work, but to the point where, like, there's a limit. If I can feel and caress your knee, it's a bit much.
That's a feature, not a bug. Shut the fuck up.
That was a good way to win me over with that. Anyway.
So Candace goes, it's a rule of the universe, like wearing white after Labor Day. And Phineas goes, an absolute law without hope of repeal? That's despotism. Which is, they're like 3 for 3 banging lines. Like, just, there was like, not a single lull in that opening. It's just
one of the best openings. And I'd like to point out
it's all dialogue. It's not like in extreme circumstances. It's just fantastic lines one after the other. Like,
it's just well written conversation between people. And I very much like to point out that Phineas and Ferb have broken the universal laws already.
Yeah, multiple plenty of times. Lots of times, yeah.
Yeah, so conservation of energy, the one where you can't create or destroy it. No, they've fucked with that. They've got free energy before. There's the thermodynamics
one. I don't know what it's called because I'm not a nerd like you, but the one where you can't just create matter.
Yeah, like, so all that's matter has conservation of kind of energy and conservation of matter as well, because they're the same thing. But yeah, you can't just make shit out of nothing, which they do. They've broken a lot of rules, and they've broken a lot harder rules. Gravity is the weakest fundamental force.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of exceptions, right?
No, it's just weaker than the weak force.
Oh, like literally just a fairly weak force.
Yeah, so there's four fundamental forces, and when you rank them in terms of like strength, which one has like provides the most force for the little amount of like mass or energy, it is the lowest. It's lower than the weak force, which doesn't make much sense. Like if I was doing names, I probably wouldn't call the third weakest fundamental force weak force, but you know,
I didn't even know that there was a fundamental force called weak force, so that's cool.
We'll do a bit of learning real quick. There are four fundamental forces: gravity, the strong nuclear force, the electromagnetic force, and the weak force. The ones that...
And then just the force, which is the most powerful of all of them, because it's the only one that allows you to
find every living organism.
Star Wars was onto something.
Yeah.
Jedi are just energy benders from Avatar. I've connected the dots. I've connected them.
But the two that you'll care about, what everyone knows about, is the electromagnetic force and gravity. An electromagnetic force is like lights, magnets, and the thing that stops you falling into the earth.
Very cool.
Yeah. Anyway. It's a fun time.
Yeah. Love doing some learning on this podcast.
Not that hard to beat. You have beaten it before when you know build rockets and shit.
Well, while we're doing some learning, I'll provide the one bit of learning that I can provide, and that is that despotism means tyranny. It's just synonymous for tyranny.
Oh, yeah. Good to know. When he's like, we've got to defeat gravity, I'm like, bro, you've already done that. Like, you've broken the escape velocity. You've got zero gravity. You've traveled really far. But no, they were just punches. They were just like swings at the fundamental law of gravity, because they completely destroy it.
They're just having some fun, just goofing around, doing their thing. I respect it.
They're just goofing around and make a machine that when you exit it, you just don't feel the effects of gravity.
It's good stuff. I 100% respect it. And they've made it.
How? Like, how? How do you just turn gravity off? It's not a thing.
It doesn't Ant-Man. It
quantum.
Changes quantum. Their... Yeah, it quantum. Changes the quantums of their quantum particles, right, which makes them lighter.
I'm going to just ignore the fact that I'm not even going to try and figure out how you just turn gravity off. But the second bit is, like, what would happen to you if you turned gravity off?
If you put any momentum into going up, you just float away forever.
So as soon as they jumped, they're dead.
But for some reason, they still stay on the ground, which makes me think it's not zero gravity, it's low gravity.
Yeah, they kind of fly.
So what I'm thinking is they've lowered their density.
Yeah, see, no.
Because they can still swim around in the air, and then they can still fall back to Earth.
The amount of movement and dexterity they have in the way they're, like, moving and stuff, you're not like that in zero gravity, and you're not like that if you're swimming in air. You're just not like that.
Have you seen the videos of the early spacecraft where they didn't consider that zero gravity meant that you would always have to have something to control your movement with? So there's some spaces in the spacecraft that are big enough that if you don't propel yourself across them and you end up stuck in the middle, you just kind of have to sit there and you like have to swim against the air and find something to grab and just pull yourself over. And there's a really funny video of like three astronauts laughing while the fourth one's just trapped in the middle of the room, like desperately swimming through the air. And he can't move because, of course, you can't actually really get much propulsion swimming through the air.
Yeah, there's nothing to every movement you ever do is because of Newton's third law, because it pushes back on you, but because there's nothing there to push back. You're just standing in this empty space, and it's actually super scary to think about.
Yeah, I find that super terrifying, that you could be in a room and you could just be in the middle of it and unable to touch anything and just like starve to death.
Yeah,
despite the fact that you're like literally centimeters away from the nearest wall.
It's like if you were on a frictionless, so an ice pool. Imagine like an ice, like a large sheet of ice, and you're sitting in the middle, and it's completely frictionless.
Mm.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
And there's literally nothing holding you back. That's the point. There's nothing.
Shawn Mendes style. Yes, I am a comedian. Yes, I will take my award now. Thank you very much.
Anyway, if you want to survive the icy pole, the icy pond, or in the middle of a zero gravity room, the secret is you throw something. Yeah, so if you have something and you throw it, the force of you throwing that object applies force for you going backwards. So if you throw it heavily...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I know my
there's
science.
There's actually a Doctor Who video from when it first came out. I think it was like the fourth Doctor. And I think... Did we watch it during... Yeah, I watched it for some reason. Yeah, no, I watched it during physics, and the guy's like, which laws is this showing? But it was really cool because the Doctor is in, doesn't quite work, but it was cool though. He's outside a spaceship, then he needs to get back to the TARDIS, and he has a ball, like a handball, and he throws the ball at the hull of the spaceship. So that gives him some energy, and he starts traveling back. And then the ball hits the wall and comes back, and he catches it, and that provides enough for him to get to the TARDIS.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It is very cool.
Just play a round of tennis with yourself.
Yeah, we won't talk about how the ball arched because the ball wouldn't arch. But anyway. So that was fun. And I'm completely confused about this gravity removing device and the effects last 15 minutes. Basically, it lets you just fly.
I explained it before. It quantumifies your quantum particles. I don't know what about that doesn't make sense to you.
And then I do want to mention with the cheese thing, the spray cheese, and he presses it and just goes fucking flying. I think that would where your density bullshit maybe might work there. But
yeah,
again, third law.
That was a fun gag as well. I really enjoyed it. So meanwhile, Carl, they've uploaded their plans to the internet, which is just a bad idea. Don't upload anything to the internet.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Especially not your intellectual property. That's a bad idea. He says, he's not a musician uploading his own. Anyway.
It's anti-gravity Funinator. Well, not Funinator. Mm. Everyone needs one.
And that's an anagram for evil ray gun hunter G or something.
Yeah, so it has an extra R and you need an extra E. I was going to check it, but thankfully Monogram did it for me with the anagram. And I really quickly want to talk about that anagram software.
Because
for starters, getting one to – it was multiple words.
If you hear a bit of noise, by the way, it's raining in Sydney and there's not much I can do about it.
Oh, well. So not only does this anagram software take multiple words and give you multiple back, which would be hard to write, it can also add letters. So that is complex. Also, do you want an anagram software that adds letters? I feel like that ruins the point of anagrams.
Yeah, because everything's an anagram of everything else if you are allowed to add letters.
Actually, that's very true. Add letters. It doesn't fucking matter what you say.
Because, did you know that Joe is an anagram of Lachlan? If you take out the letters L-A-C-H, L-A, and N and add the letters J-O and E.
We don't share a single letter.
No, we don't. But we share three letters in our last names.
What about Joseph? Lachlan has a H. No, you have a H.
Oh, yeah, true. But our last names, Ross and Russell, are really similar.
I met a guy called Murray, and I was like, Lachlan's
dead. Nice. So they've uploaded their plans to the internet, and Doof yoinks them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's pirating things.
He's having a lazy day. I'm just going to pirate. I'm just going to BitTorrent that shit.
He's chucking a me with the Snyder Cut, and I respect that. I'm not giving Rupert Murdoch my money. That's a line I'll die on.
Foxtel. Foxtel has nothing good on it, and I feel like the Snyder Cut won't change that at all.
Yeah. The Snyder Cut's... I would say the Snyder Cut is even worth the price of a movie ticket, but the Snyder Cut is not worth the 140 fucking bucks a month that Foxtel is for 24 months or whatever sort of situation they've got going on there. I'm not about Foxtel.
But I am interested to see Henry Cavill not have a mustache.
Yes, Henry Cavill with a non-CGI mustache. It's going to be beautiful. He's just gonna have his normal face without stubble. We've gone on a Justice League tangent before. I could talk about Justice League for way too long, but we won't do that because we're still got years of episode to do.
Not yet, at least.
We should just do a random Snyder Cut review in the middle of the Phineas and Ferb podcast. Just season 2, episode 26, The Snyder Cut.
Because it's been fan requested.
And the fan is me.
All right.
We could just shit on it for like 4 hours.
Because, they need Agent P away, so they send him on a wild goose chase. Literally.
Agent G.
A goose. And they're like, he's been gone forever.
I have high standards of jokes in Phineas and Ferb, but let me tell you, the random cutaways to Perry looking for Agent G in between all of the actual episode going on are some of the funniest visual jokes that Phineas and Ferb has to offer. They are so good.
I don't know how to feel about it, because you know how you get in movies where they talk about the backstory of a character and that sounds better than the movie you're watching?
Yes.
It's like that, except the thing I'm watching is also fantastic, and I'm just like, I want more, and I want to see this. I want to see the day
when Perry James Bond movie
like a proper Perry James Bond movie, because he gets up to, he climbs a mountain.
But also, I think that the funniest part of the jokes is the fact that each of the circumstances seems so completely devoid of the one that came before it that you don't know how they could be the same story, but it cuts out all of the information in the middle and just like randomly cuts away to a new ridiculous scenario.
That's why I want to see Agent P and the hunt for Agent G, the movie, in live action, because I want to know how he got from the mountain to a blackjack 1v1
with a French guy. He's like, the Agent G card. I do not know anything. I had not seen him.
And then where did he get a printed Agent G card? How did he smuggle that into the game?
He made it custom. And then he hand waved it into the game just for a dramatic reveal.
He did his sleight of hand just so he could cheat at this game, just so he could ask this guy. And then once he shows, he's like, I know nothing. He just like jumps on him and he's like, tell me everything. And then
there's two things worth saying here. Firstly, this episode is very accent heavy. There's a lot of accent jokes, which
especially in the later in Hit Flip Parade as well. Yeah,
they're really good because I really love good accent joke. And then also, as is tradition, who's playing Agent G?
What do you mean?
If we're making a live-action Perry the Platypus looking for Agent G movie, we need to cast... Because we know who's playing Perry the Platypus. Come on. It's Mission Impossible 9. Perry the Platypus finds Agent G.
Tom Cruise. Oh, it'd be fantastic.
But who's playing Agent G? We need someone who's committed to their own stunts. Yeah. But we can't have Henry Cavill because he's playing Jeremy.
Oh, he is already playing Jeremy.
Who's someone who's like always doing their own stunts and like,
or
there's
someone,
no one as insane as Tom Cruise though.
Yeah, no one. That's why we've got him playing Agent P. There's no one like Tom Cruise.
Maybe we could get someone who just looks like a goose. We could get Michael Cera. We could get
I think we get someone who isn't known for doing their own stunts and then get them to do their own stunts.
Because it's funnier like that.
And so it's just funny because they can't do it.
Someone who really doesn't want to do stunts as well.
I don't know enough actors these days.
Yeah, I don't really know anyone who's known for like not liking stunts. Maybe Benedict Cumberbatch. Just because he was in the news this week for not wanting to be in a Star Wars movie because they were like, do you want to play Admiral Thrawn in Star Wars? He's blue. And he was like, dude, I'm already in one major movie franchise and I have kids that I barely see. I'm not sitting in a makeup chair for 12 hours to be painted blue. And everyone's like, how dare he disrespect Star Wars? Like wanting to see your kids is like totally evil.
I feel like, bro, you can do what the hell you like. But he would have been good.
Yeah, he's already Doctor Strange. He doesn't need the money. Like, he doesn't. He doesn't need to. No, do. Anyway. So Benedict Cumberbatch can play Agent G, because also he looks a bit like a goose.
I was thinking Channing Tatum. just because.
Because he's just so ripped for some reason.
Yeah, just, and then him with a fedora and dressed in a duck costume, except the, yeah.
Okay, no, imagine this. It's like a metaphor for the animals. Like, Channing Tatum is dressed in just a white suit and a fedora. And he's like, ooh, called Agent G, and it's like a code name because he's like the goose, because he's the funny guy on the team. And then, yeah, hard cut, Tom Cruise is just literally in a platypus costume with his face painted blue.
Yeah, or
and
just
you
like,
never address it.
It's just green tealed. And because Tom Cruise is a short man already, you don't even have to make him any shorter. You just get him to stand. He'll look out of place, and he just doesn't say anything except for like,
and it's just but Channing Tatum talks back to him like
Monogram. Yeah,
he's like he's actually speaking like Monogram does.
Yeah, and then there's one time where he like breaks down the whole plan. It's like this huge amount of detail Channing Tatum does to Tom Cruise, and he's like, "Oh, so you in?" And he just says the
and it's like, "Yep, cool."
And he's like, "Perfect, we're ready then."
Or imagine it's like it's shot like a noir film. So it's like black and white, or like not black and white, but like super desaturated and shadow. And like they're in a bar and he's sitting there in his white suit and he's holding a whiskey glass and he goes, "You know, this business, I tried to get out. I'm not missing. I'm gone because I want to. I don't want to go back." Hard cut, Tom Cruise in a platypus costume.
Bright teal,
and he's like,
everyone else is black and white.
He's bright teal, and he looks in his whiskey glass and he goes, "You know what? You're right, Agent P." And he like goes in for one of those like bro hug, like handshake things. But then Tom,
but I'm bringing you in. Anyway.
I'm bringing you in. I can do it. You like, can do it willingly. I can do it in cuffs. He I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
I'm bringing you in. I've left that life behind. You'll have to fight for it.
Not super seriously. Channing Tatum's just using like actual pistols, and then Tom Cruise is flying with a platypus tail.
Like throws at. All right. I want to see this James Bond, Tom Cruise movie, Agent P. Because at the end, he breaks in through the wall like he always does.
Which is apparently Perry has a problem with, according to the next episode.
Astronaut gear. Like his space gear.
He's been to space.
He went to
Where space did he find Agent G?
Where was Agent G? And then he's like, "No one could find Agent G. It's all right." He went, well, AWOL, we assume, long ago. And he's like, and then he just walks in. Agent G's there.
He pulls Agent G out from behind his back.
Yeah, he's holding him by the neck.
Using like the magic pocket. Like he's got him in his pocket.
Channing Tatum doesn't want to come back. He's on his vacation. He wants to leave this world behind. And then Perry's like dragged him in.
In the live action version, he'll be like, he's tied up and he's got a gag around. And like he does that thing that strong characters do when there's like a character that they've beat him, where he's like holding his arms behind his back and like throws him forward and he falls down onto his knees and he like stands over him like, "Here he is." Like,
and they just gave him this mission because they needed him to go away. They're like, "This is a wild goose chase."
He went above and beyond. It's like that time my dad was in uni. It's like that time my dad was in uni and they gave him a test, and when they gave the results back, they were like, "We're actually giving 100% to all the people who got 99% because one of the questions was actually unsolvable, except good old Murray up the back there did in fact derive the graph from the information he was given and then use the graph that he invented to solve it anyway. So Murray's getting 111% or whatever." And everyone hated him.
Perry's gone and the Monogram's just like, "Oh, we did not expect this." All right.
Went above and beyond.
"No, you need a vacation. You deserve a vacation for this, but we can't afford it."
But we can't afford it because he never stops. And also because we've got like one employee.
And Perry
looks so mad. And I'm like, this is not the first time they've cheated him out of a vacation, as we've talked about on this podcast.
He just stares
him
down.
Let Perry have a vacation.
Perry's going to go AWOL. He's only doing this because of loyalty. He's like,
I understand why Agent G went AWOL now, because like I would too if I didn't get any vacation benefits.
And it's poor management. Don't you hate that when you're doing your job and the manager didn't do it differently and you're like, but that's a bad way of doing it. And they're like, no, I know because I'm telling you that I know. And it's like, you don't because you don't do my job.
Don't you just hate when you go to management and you ask for some time off and they're like, listen, we can't really afford to give you time off based on the current circumstances, and you object to that, and then your performance in that job suffers, but you still don't get given time off until you get performance reviewed, and then eventually you leave.
Well, after they threatened to performance review you twice. Anyway, Terry's sick of this shit. My best line was, so they're like, Carl was like, oh, so what are you doing there, Phineas? And he's like, just challenging universal laws. I like that.
So casual. Actually, that reminds me of you. Lines like that remind me of you. This episode's like light on implications, in the back half at least. Like the first half is
really gravity.
Yeah. But there is a great implication slash joke right at the end where Monogram goes to get Carl and he walks in and he's like undercover and he checks that the situation's all good and Carl's like, yeah, we're all good. And he like turns and he whispers into his watch and he goes, it's all good, boys. And it just hard cuts out to like the really wide shot, and there's just SWAT people fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
He called the SWAT on some 9-year-olds.
Monogram did not know how to act as a father. He was horrible at that. And then when Carl's like, the threat's been neutralized, as in there was no threat ever, you idiots. He's just like, all right, so you can go. He called his entire armed forces just in case.
He called the SWAT.
Out. He was like, he was, even though
not
he treats
animal
Carl
agents.
Like
his division, only has animal agents, which means this isn't ALCA. He called the actual like FBI on some 9-year-olds, and the FBI is aware that they've got a zero gravity machine. And just lets them kind of keep it.
Just lets them keep it.
They're like, oh, well, the intern's okay. Nothing to see here.
As long as Carl is intern, it's all right, boys. We're fine.
I'm sorry. This show is confirmed to take place in the States. And if there's one thing I know about the States, it's they're not going to look at a technology created on their soil and be like, ah, yes. Can't use that for a weapon. You can keep that and we won't even think about it. That is fundamentally un-American.
Yeah, that's not who they are. All my knowledge of America, they would be like, yeah, it's time to bring them in.
not for doing anything wrong, but because we're going to disappear them and yoink their weapon.
I think we're on to the next step.
I agree. Yeah, I think we're on to it.
Which is really annoying because I wrote down in my synopsis. It was just a quote. Today, we're going to fuse our nervous systems with Dad's laptop and surf the web using only our cerebral cortexes. And I was like, holy shit.
I want to see this. I'm sold.
This is going to be good. The only question I had was Dad's laptop. Why Dad's? Why not theirs?
They don't own a laptop, dude. They're kids.
Valjeet has a laptop.
True. You own Valjeet's laptop. What have I
And then I've written underneath pranked because we got pranked. It turns into a parade. And though the parade was good and we still got to see some amazing creations, I want to see the fused nervous systems into Dad's laptop so you can surf the web. Can you imagine what Google would do with that?
Oh, God.
Google is already stealing every bit of information you've ever had about your life and could probably foretell where you'll be in 20 years. And now it has control over your nervous system?
There's a great Tom Scott video that I can't remember what it's called, but he's like giving a presentation. He talks about, let's pretend that as big a jump in technology that's happened in the last 20 years happens in the next 20 years. And he talks about kids, like teenagers walking around with throat mics and cybernetic implants in them. And like, just constantly being on the web and becoming completely disconnected from older generations, and it's spooky as fuck. And
yeah,
I was never gonna agree to have any sort of electronics inside my body before, but I'm definitely fucking not now. And what I'm saying is, I ain't getting my spinal cord fused to a laptop. This piece of shit laptop has been causing me problems for 6 years. You think I'm gonna attach that shit to my body? It'll probably 404 accidentally delete the main program files to my fucking brain.
Blue screen.
My own head would blue screen like every 30 seconds. I am not about that life.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I certainly wouldn't fuse my nervous system to your laptop. That's for sure. my baby here, though.
The Corsair one.
Fused to me every day.
Corsair, if you're listening.
She's so sexy.
Corsair, if you're listening, if you sponsor us, we'll fuse our spines to your laptop.
I'm making decisions in my life. Mm. I'm coming up to the, like, I've got obviously amazing aesthetics when it comes to the setup, but I'm coming to a difficult decision. Because I've got a Logitech keyboard, mouse, and mouse pad, but I have obviously the Corsair one. Do I, when I buy a new headset, go Logitech or Corsair?
Oh, that is a tough question.
And when I buy my next mouse, do I go Razer because I have a really nice one or stick with Logitech? Because the lining is just off.
Yeah.
And it's slightly irritating. You know who would help decide this?
Who?
Any sort of sponsor. So yeah, if anyone I will out there listening.
Brand loyalty. Like, literally, we are so cheap for sponsorships. You send us, like, 40 cents and we'll buy your products for the rest of our life. It's literally just buying loyalty. Like, it only has to be a very small transaction, my friend. Like, you're still winning because you still, even if no one buys it based off the sponsorship, you still get customers out of it. We'll still buy your shit. So what are you, it's a lossless game. Come and fucking buy it. Sponsors. Corsair, Logitech, Razer. One of you. Whoever gets in first, brand loyalty for life. Unless the other people pay us more money later down the line.
We don't tell them that yet. We get a bidding war later on. All right, so this episode is pretty light on the implications.
Yeah, it's mostly centered around Buford. I think it's the second Buford-centric episode after the one with the fish.
He just doesn't carry it.
Yeah, I found that in the earlier seasons, particularly season one, he's kind of light on character development, but I really like his dynamic here and I like what he's doing.
I didn't mind this, but not having Baljeet, I think, really slowed it down. Like it was important for the story to have some other nerd kid, and it was cool to have the nerd kid just try all these different accents. And I think that's actually quite a cool way of doing.
And it's a pretty good excuse to start doing accents on this show, isn't it?
Exactly.
Just randomly start dropping into accents because Baljeet 2.0 is fucking dropping into British accent.
And he's like, I can't do Indian, but I can do all these others. And then he
didn't
does
do
German,
Irish,
Rich
though,
Buford.
Which was a little bit disappointing. Did he do an Irish?
I don't think he did.
Well, I'm doing an Irish, so that's what matters.
All right. Anyway, that kid really didn't. He's no Baljeet.
Yeah, but also, he was a throwaway character. He was
Baljeet's and Buford's dynamic carry Baljeet and Buford, and so without them, it's hard work. But it
if
was.
If this wasn't already a Carl centric episode, it would have been funny to have Carl replace Baljeet.
Yeah, true.
Because then it's a named character rather than a rando.
Yeah, true. But Buford and Carl. Carl's like bigger, he's older. He's an actual teenager.
Yeah, which would make it funny when Buford beat the shit out of him.
Okay. But anyway, it's basically a Buford versus Phineas and Ferb thing.
Mm. Which is laughable. Work. Because
it's laughable.
The thing is, Buford is physically strong, but on what plane of existence is he even mildly an abstract threat for Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah, did he break gravity? Funk? No. You know what he does to try and stop their parade?
Dress up as a police officer.
No,
you think the law's going to stop him?
He breaks a fire extinguisher. Fire hydrant, that's it. And the water goes over the road. Okay. Mm. How does Phineas and Ferb fix this? I'll give you some options. Ready? Okay. So A, stop the fire hydrant leaking and then mop it up or just drive through the very...
I was going to say get a mop.
Okay. Option A, stop the fire hydrant and just drive through the very thin amount of water because it would have just gone through gone through the gutters and stuff. Two, keep the fire hydrant going and bring a mop. C, call the fire people. Or D, do operation... What was it? Something in our way, or that was the next one, where Ferb flies out of the first float in a drone, flies in front of everyone, pulls out a massive fan underneath, drills down through the bitumen, through the road, through the ground, goes underneath this small amount of water, then drills back up another small hole, allowing the entire parade to fall through this large hole, including the large floats, and then safely land at the bottom, we assume, drive back up directly underneath this small link of small water pool, happy as a lark.
I'm going to go with option A, they got a mop. It's very Phineas and Ferb extra. They're just showing off at this point, and I appreciate that.
And I'm like, once that happens, yeah, it's pretty much like, just give up now. Anyway, he dresses as a policeman and sends them to the junkyard because he thinks it's like a black hole because the mass is inescapable. And I'm like...
No, he was talking about the magnet thing.
What magnet thing?
You know how junkyards have a magnet that they use for like lifting cars and shit?
Yeah.
I assumed he was just talking about that. Like they'd walk under that and they'd get sucked up.
Right. Anyway, it didn't quite land, I think, is how he's wanting, which is how Buford talks anyway. It doesn't make much sense. And that was it. So that pretty much happened.
Mm. Short episode. Here's implication for you. Firstly, when Barjeet shows up at the start of the episode, he is dressed as a vegetable Samoa. How do they know it's a vegetable Samoa?
Yeah.
How do they know what is inside that Samoa?
It's a Samoa.
If anything, it's a non-vegetable Samoa because it's got a human in it, and humans are made of meat.
Barjeet, and Barjeet is not a vegetable. Buford, maybe? Balshi, definitely not.
Balshi is not a vegetable. It's just a great sentence.
Her mother, Genesis's mother, Lindana, as she should be called, signs her daughter away to a curse.
Yep, she's like, you'll get a Pharaoh's curse.
Yeah, she's just like, put your hand up and say that you will not obsess with your brothers, or I'll get Pharaoh's cursed. And I was like, damn, that doesn't seem healthy. That's not how you do it. Love Handle is on the float.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that.
Love Handle. Come back. If Phineas and Ferb says, yo, we're doing a parade, can you be there? Of course Love Handle's going to say yes, because they are, and they'll always be there.
Here's the most important implication of the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
Candace's middle name is Gertrude.
Does that come up in this episode?
Mm-hmm. She goes Candace Gertrude Flynn when she's doing the evil curse thingy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And we also get one of the most recognized best jokes in the entire Phineas and Ferb universe.
Yeah.
So it's always been a play that he's gone, Perry the Platypus. But the best one out of all those Perry the Platypus jokes is this one here where it's a platypus balloon. And then it keeps flying up, somehow hits off this like huge fedora hat billboard thing. And then he's like, Perry the Platypus balloon.
It's a classic. It never goes. It's just such a good gag. We also get another good like meta gag. I like it when they get so established in their jokes that they can start making jokes about the jokes.
Mm.
The Perry door situation.
Yeah.
Where he traps him in a door. Because
that's the same shape as him. Because he always makes
holes in the doors anyway. So he's like, righto, may as well do this. And then Perry defeats him by using his tail to knock on the door, and then Doof opens it, which is hilarious.
The show is just exceptional, isn't it?
It's like compared to the first episode, this episode is like nowhere near as good. Even the worst episodes are just so fucking funny.
Yeah, this show always ceases. Like
there's a reason we can sustain a podcast for two seasons about how amazing this show is. And it only gets better. Like season four is fantastic.
Yeah, and this felt like season three. You said that when we were watching it. It feels like season three.
Yeah, it's a season three episode because of how meta it is and how like
fast
paced and tightly written it is.
It's good. Definitely the first one's better than the second one, but it's good. Good time all around. Would recommend, obviously, go watch it.
And speaking of recommendations, where would you recommend they find us?
Well, I'd recommend probably Instagram because there's a lot of other content you can see there that's better than ours.
Instagram's pretty great. And also it's the only real social media that I am regularly on. So
there's a chance you'll hit Lachlan there. I'm sometimes there as well. So feel free to hit us up.
Mainly looking at memes in our group chat with Zach.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb on Instagram. Also, give us a Google. Apparently, we're the top result when you Google.
Apparently, we're the top result. Shout out to long-time listener Xander, who has been listening to the podcast at work while he's doing his stuff.
He's caught up. And has
gone through the entire back catalogue, which is damn impressive. We've recorded
like, I don't even know how many of these, but that is a lot of hours just listening to our voice. So we thank you, Xander. It's always good playing games with you.
He is an absolute mad lad, and I have so much respect. If you're a long-time listener who isn't Xander, because we already know, then write into us and let us know. And
hit up the Gmail.
We'll be proud. Yeah, hit up the Gmail. Implications@phineasandferb.com.
That was not in sync quite yet.
No, not at all.
If you want to be on Reddit, and so I'll see it in 6 months, feel free.
And you can also send us a thing on the Twitter. I do have notifications on for Twitter because there's so few of them. So if you want to hit me up on Twitter, just at me and I will see it. It's of_Ferb. I don't know how no one took that username, but we've got it. So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, Implications of Phineas and Ferb, I think, is meant to be the full name, but the actual handle.
No, it's too long. Yeah. Twitter handles have to be like under 15 characters or something, which is so stupid.
of_Ferb.
You should be able to have really long names. Wait till we get
the official Phineas and Ferb account. That's going to be so great.
That's going to be fantastic. You know what? Can tweet from that.
Dan, Jeff, you've listened to this podcast. Do you think these guys are like, they can be the official Phineas and Ferb podcast. It's going to be a great time.
Solfi's been on the show, of course. It's like we're the official Phineas and Ferb podcast now.
We should make it more official and get some others on as well.
We should. Let's hit up some more.
I'm going to hit up Mickey Mouse directly. I want him on the show.
Call Mickey and be like, can you come on? And he'll be like, you're infringing on our intellectual property. You prepare for a lawsuit.
We're going to your house and sending you a subpoena.
We've got snipers.
See that red dot on your chest? It isn't a laser pointer.
My wife, Minnie's been cheating on me, so I've got a lot of untapped rage right now.
She could take the call, Joe. It's your mother, Joe. We have her. Let go of the podcast.
Anyway, all the things are in the description if you need them. That's the podcast. Thank you for coming and being here with us.
Lovely day.
Much appreciated. I'm
now going to try and have a lovely day doing math.
You have fun with that.
The Implications of Phineas and Ferb. Listen to it whenever you can.